In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, in today's Gospel, we find our Lord in one of his last and most bitter confrontations with the chief priests, the Sanhedrin, who, despite all the good he has done, despite the sublime nature of his teachings, accuse him of having a devil. His plea to them reveals the pain in his sacred heart at seeing the chosen people reject their Messiah and Savior. Which of you shall convince me of sin? If I say the truth to you, why do you not believe me? Why do you not believe me? The question that has now echoed down through two millennia of church history. Faced with the remnant of this once chosen nation, stubbornly refusing to acknowledge Christ as the Savior of all men. Against this fundamental teaching of the Catholic Church, the divinity of Jesus Christ and his fulfillment of the Old Covenant and the New, bringing with it the abolishment of the Jewish ritual sacrifices and prayers, we have encountered in our day the error of Zionism. This is the false idea that the Old Covenant is still valid and effective for the salvation of the Jews, that it is the duty of Christians to aid in the reinstatement of the temple sacrifices in order to hasten the return of Christ. Against this heresy, I have preached before, and I condemn it again here and now. Irrespective of what religion someone is born into, Judaism or otherwise, there is no salvation outside the Catholic Church, of which Jesus Christ is the head. That being said, it seems there's also another tendency on the part of some Catholics these days that has me concerned. And this may concern none of you here present today. This sermon may well be a waste of your time. If it is, my apologies, and please try to offer it up for the poor souls. It's Lent. I have to give you at least one hard sermon and stick it to you a bit, as it were. Maybe some of you don't want to hear this because you disagree with me. Maybe you would allege that, in fact, I'm the one who has misunderstood church teaching. Maybe you will reach a point in this sermon where you'd prefer to get up and leave. That's your right, and that wouldn't be the first time it's happened. If this is your reaction, however, I would respectfully ask you that you please hear me out to the end, and if you still don't like it, pick up the phone sometime and give me a call. Or better yet, talk to me face to face. Whatever you do, please don't try to hash this out with me over text messages. That never works. I don't have the time for it anyway. One point that I want to make clear from the beginning. Please do not wonder or suspect that there are any political overtones in this sermon, or that this is some sort of implicit commentary on current events. It's not. Ordinarily, politics should have little to no place in sermons, which are to instruct you in the mysteries of the Catholic religion and the virtues so that you can save your souls. It is hearts and souls alone that I'm concerned with. I will try to be as brief and blunt as possible. I have the impression, rightly or wrongly, that some in the church today believe that Holy Mother Church has taught, for the last 2,000 years, a sort of theology of the chip on the shoulder against the Jews. That we as Catholics are supposed to hold the Jews in hatred, wish them evil, and consider the Jews who are alive today as being just as guilty as those of their ancestors who were responsible for the crucifixion of our Lord. bearing, in fact, the exact same kind of guilt as if they had done it themselves. Now, why do I detest such an idea and consider it totally absurd? For the same reason that I detest things like identity politics, critical race theory, and the same reason that I would not want to be reproached as another one of the guilty parties if it were ever discovered, heaven forbid, that one of my white ancestors in the antebellum South was a slaveholder. God does not save or condemn anyone based on the nation, race, or ethnicity that they're born into. He judges individuals. And he only holds them accountable for their own personal sins. We, on the other hand, are asked, no, we are told expressly by our Lord not to judge anyone. Now, I know what some of you may be thinking. This perhaps strikes you as naive, but despite what you may think, I do not fall prey to the modern fallacy that certain groups are above reproach and that there are some whom we must dare not criticize. Or you may be thinking that perhaps I haven't read the church fathers, like St. John Chrysostom. Maybe I haven't read St. Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 14, 16. What does St. Paul say? Let's let him speak for himself. For you, brethren, are become followers of the churches of God, which are in Judea, in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered the same things from your own countrymen, even as they have from the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and have persecuted us, and pleased not God, and are adversaries to all men, prohibiting us to speak to the Gentiles, that they may be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath of God is come upon them to the end. End quote. At least when I read this quote, I see St. Paul condemning the actions of certain among the Jews of his present day for specific acts of malfeasance, like prohibiting the Gentiles from being proselytized. I see him condemning those among the Jews of the preceding centuries who had killed the prophets. What I do not see is some sort of blanket condemnation of all subsequent generations of Jews as being inherently evil or meriting our hatred. And indeed, to teach this would be the same as teaching that God had created one race that is to be the exception to the universal law of charity. It would be the same as saying that God's infinite love is no longer infinite when it comes to one group of people. This is a contradiction in terms. It makes no sense. What about the popes, you might say? What about the popes? What about Pope Pius XI, who in 1928 issued the following statement, saying that the Catholic Church, and I quote, reproves all rancors in conflicts between peoples to the maximum extent, condemns hatred of the people once chosen by God, the hatred that commonly goes by the name of anti-Semitism. So are we simply to reject this as modernism because it may appear to some to be in contradiction to some of the church fathers or some of the previous councils or popes? I want to meet the man bold enough to call Pius XI a modernist, the pope who condemned interreligious prayer meetings. That would be one for the records. In 1916, Pope Benedict XV had this to say regarding hatred of the Jews. The Supreme Pontiff, as head of the Catholic Church, which faithful to its divine doctrines and its most glorious traditions, considers all men as brothers and teaches them to love one another. He never ceases to indicate among individuals as well as among peoples the observance of the principles of the natural law and to condemn everything that violates them. This law must be observed and respected in the case of the children of Israel, as well as of all others, because it would not be conformable to justice or to religion itself to derogate from it solely on account of divergence of religious confessions. End quote. So why did I decide to preach about this today? Because I think that a constant fixation on properly identifying who our enemies are and making sure that we have enough resentment stored up against them is petty, mean-spirited, spiteful, and beneath the dignity of a Christian. Indeed, it's not only that it's mean, as if niceness were a virtue. Hatred of anyone is a mortal sin. And if you practice it, you incur the guilt of doing so. So, if you have a problem with me saying this, again, at least please talk to me about it face to face. Please do not send me links to videos suggesting that maybe Adolf Hitler is actually the model Catholic leader. Spoiler alert, he wasn't. Please do not send me quotes apparently from fathers of the church, but lacking any source citation, saying that we have a duty to hate the Jews. Doing so will very quickly get you on my do not take seriously list. Now, I do not deny that the continued rejection of Christ by the Jews remains a mystery and a scandal. And I know that numerous saints and popes have spoken of the Jews who are alive today as continuing to bear, in some sense anyway, the penalty of the crime of their ancestors. How this is to be interpreted is not always made explicit. Do not forget, however, that the majority of those saints and spiritual writers who have written concerning the end times have foretold that one of the signs of our Lord's imminent return will be the conversion of the Jews to the Catholic faith. God has a plan for the Jews, as he has a plan for everyone and everything. So pray for them. From the cross, our Lord prayed to God to have mercy on his persecutors. Saint Stephen imitated him in his own martyrdom. I suggest for our own sake that we try to adopt the same attitude. If we want to have mercy shown to us, we have to be willing to extend mercy to our neighbor, whoever he may be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.